Yo, it's Garrett Kramer.
It's your boy Roman.
It's your boy Ben Misek. Back with another episode of
Receiving Yards to Revolvers.
Yay!
The Aaron Hernandez story. This is the Aaron Hernandez story, part two. We're gonna start off of him getting drafted. Aaron was drafted on April 23rd, 2010. In the fourth round by the New England Patriots.
Pretty good team.
They are a pretty good team.
Yeah.
Led by Tom Brady at the time. Really solid team. Legendary coach, legendary team.
He's a first season.
Bound for success. Yeah. First season with the Pats. Aaron put up, let's look, put up six TDs, man. Had six TDs. 563 yards.
Man.
Played 14 games, man. Balled out, quite frankly.
Good for a rookie, I mean.
I know.
The record was 14-2.
He was dominant for his rookie year, honestly. Dominated every aspect of the game. Patriots went on to have a good season that year. Correct me if I'm wrong, I think they won a Super Bowl that year.
Yep. Him and Gronk, the dynamic duo, back at it again. You know?
But I think they lost to the New York Giants, so.
Oh, that's right. Yep, that was the Victor Cruz catch right there. Anyways, let's get back. Let's hop into this. Aaron, once he got to the NFL, his actions really just escalated from how they were in college. He really got worse.
Yeah, I would say he went from the calm guy to the weird guy to the crazy guy, you know. He was all of the above.
He was a real hoot.
And then you had the animal on the football field. You know, he showed many emotions throughout his life after he got drafted.
He was really like two different people on and off the field.
I know, bro.
Crazy, man.
I think this is what led him to have some of these like provocative actions, or like some of these actions, because like he said nobody like trust anymore. His mom and him never got along. His dad's dead. And he's new to New England. He never really lived there. He lived in Bristol. He's trying to make new people. He's trying to fit in. So I think he did some things that he regrets looking back on it.
To add on to Garrett, you know, last episode, Garrett just stated that he was talking about his mom's relationship. Last episode, we also got into his sexuality. So, like, I believe that we asked the same question, but I think it has to pull up again. Later in life, like, how did his struggle with his sexuality, like, influence his actions, you know?
Well, I think a lot of the things that happened was because, like, his sexuality was not really accepted, so he felt that he didn't fit in. So I think that, like, that led to some of his actions and stuff, so I think that wasn't good for him because it really just made him a bad person.
It made him mad that no one accepted him or a different viewpoint. It would make me mad if someone just didn't agree to what I liked, what I did.
But actually, though, while he was actually engaged.
Yeah.
Well, and he had a little girl.
He was.
According to his fiance on ABC's article, she was talking about like how that he really did have like a major struggle coming out as bisexual at the time, and like how it took a toll on him, not only like physically but like mentally, you know.
Aaron had bisexual teammates on the Patriots too, and they opened up and talked about it, how they thought they felt that they didn't belong either, but I think they had a better support system around them that chose them to not make these poor decisions that Aaron did.
So did he like his sex when he was engaged with his fiance?
I believe that they were very open about his sexuality.
Yeah, she knew and stuff. It wasn't really like a news flash.
Yeah. So this episode, we're going to be talking about what actually went down with Aaron and why we're talking about him on this podcast. So, anybody want to start off with? Should we talk about Odin Loy first or someone else?
Well, I think we should start in July 2012. Aaron was on trial for the murders of, Saffarillo Ferdudo and Daniel De Abreu in Boston. And back to his sexuality, Aaron's closest friend was his cousin. His cousin was, she had cancer, but she lived in the Bristol, Connecticut area, right by Aaron, and they grew up together. Aaron was in a rental car when they killed, or when he supposedly killed Safaro and Daniel, and years later that rental car was found inside of his cousin's garage. So that's some overwhelming evidence that the double homicide of Aaron Hernandez was all true and that he was the one that did the shooting.
I do believe that was found out later in life though, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was later down the road. But if we're talking about the actual murder, it was very late at night. Aaron was coming home from Boston. And he was at a club coming home, and he wasn't exactly too happy. And
drinking.
Yep, which was just one of his biggest problems was drinking and drugs. He just couldn't get past it.
Yeah, he couldn't handle himself when he was around those things, you know?
Yeah.
He was madly addicted to those.
Yeah, like, he just went to his SUV, followed them, and just went right by them on a red stop, and just shot them.
Well, had a gun right up his window, had a gun in his car, which is another big no-no that you shouldn't. Have a gun in your car.
I think his friends tried to stop him. I don't know what.
I know, yeah, because he did have friends in the car with him at the time.
I don't know what they were doing or something.
I don't. See, this is another thing. Is like, some of the people he hung out with, do you think they brought out the best in him?
Honestly, no. Because they kept hanging out with him, so they honestly knew what Aaron was doing.
Yeah, they didn't
try to stop him.
Yeah.
Like, they maybe tried to stop him in that moment.
Like, verbally? Like,
yeah, but they didn't go to the police or anything because they just wanted to cover up for Aaron. But yeah, that was not the smartest decision, I believe.
I think if his friends wanted the best in him, they would have contacted the police to try to get him. Or even before that, because you should know that someone's kind of going off the deep end before they're going to kill someone. Like, get him some help. Like, you guys know him best. He's not a very open guy. He was kind of shy. And you just, the few people he opened up to, no one was there to help him. They didn't try to get him any help. They just let him dig himself into this deep hole where he had no option except to just do bad things, honestly. Like, they weren't looking out for him. And that has to be frustrating as a friend.
I also do believe that if Aaron would have to turn himself in, he might have gotten a lower sentence than what he would have had if he didn't turn himself in.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, me personally, like, it's super frustrating when your friends don't, like, tell you stuff. Because they know you just as well as anybody. And that's annoying to me, personally. I don't.
Did his friends do anything after? You shot him, like,
no, they just,
honestly,
they just let
they
it
just
go.
Stayed quiet.
Which is horrible, because it's just not good. It's not a good friendship. That's such an unhealthy relationship. I think that's how most of Aaron's relationships were. They were all toxic, and he didn't really have anybody that he could trust.
I feel like he didn't have the greatest support either. Like, I bet his friends didn't like him very much.
Yeah, I think they kind of two-face. I think, like, and then, like, one murder comes into the next, and they just pile on top of each other before you know it. It was just, it was a lost cause. It
almost seems there's just no one there. Like, everyone saw his friends, just saw him going down this path, killing these people. It's almost like they just didn't have anyone.
But now let's talk about Odin Loy, who is the more talked about murder. Odin was friends with Aaron. His fiance had some sort of connection with Odin Loy, and they got along. They hung out a lot. He would even come over to his house. They'd have parties together. They would drink together. They would do drugs together. So I'm not saying that Odin Loy was a good influence on him, because he wasn't, but he was one of his friends that did. He was always there for him.
I feel like Aaron and him were more accepted as friends for each other, because they did the same crap, like Garrett said.
But just looking at this thing, though, the murder, it happened on June 17, 2013. Odin Loy, the semi-pro football player, was found in an industrial park. Like, the police tracked him down to his mansion just a mile away.
Yeah, it was really close to his house. He was an easy suspect.
But the things that he did, he hid the evidence. Like, he destroyed his cell phone and the surveillance footage at his home to make it harder for the parents. For the police to see what he did. So he knew what he was doing. Like, he was probably conscious and...
Like, what do you think happened to Aaron to just, like, make him want to kill one of his friends? Like, that has to be some, like, unreal anger to do something like that.
I think it's something to do with his mental illness.
Or
the drugs that he was on, it probably led him to do.
Or, like, another thing to talk about is his brain damage, or, like, he has a lot of that from football, brain disease.
A lot of people talk about the Aaron Hernandez story, about how football could have played a negative role in some of those actions, because he took a lot of shots to the head, and if you do that, you lose lots of brain. You lose brain cells, which can lead to mental illness.
There's been tons
of people that have been former NFL players that have gotten mentally ill because of all the blows they've taken to the head, and they just, it's too much for them. Like,
I mean, Andrew Luck's a great example.
That's absolutely.
He retired because of...
Retired super young.
Yeah, because of his concussions.
Yeah.
And even the NFL now is trying to cut that down from...
They're redesigning helmets.
They're trying to raise awareness for people to... get the best technology possible to keep the players safe, because they know what happened to these type of players. But back to the Odin Loy story. So they are coming home late at night. Odin and Aaron must have been in the disagreement, and there's other people in the car. There's two other people with Aaron, both of which had criminal backgrounds. So he's already hanging out with bad people, per usual. And they must have gotten into an argument, and they took him to a park around a mile away, like Roman said. And it got heated, and all of them had the same plan that they were going to kill Odin going into the night. Yep. And it just escalated for him to shoot Odin Loy and then try to cover up all the evidence.
With the same .45 caliber he used.
To kill other people.
I also want to talk about the cover-up of the evidence. I feel like it would make the cops more suspect of him because of what... He smashed his phone, it was just a coincidence. The tapes were not filming at the time, which was another coincidence.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was 3:30 a.m.
There's just a lot of things that lined up.
Just crazy stuff they're doing.
And you feel like at that early in the morning, your security system would be on?
Yeah.
Just in case anything happens during the night?
I'm just saying it's like crazy for them to just do all that stuff. That late also just shows that his bad habits, probably just drinking, doing all the same.
Yeah, I'm sure that was involved with the decision to kill him. It's just the type of person he was. They were at a club.
That late, he's just not thinking. Everything just becomes to do that.
I think that Aaron was actually with... There's pictures of Aaron Hernandez and Odin Loy at Aaron's house that same day when they were hanging out. And I think Aaron Hernandez played that season, that 2013 season. Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't he play that season?
Yeah, I do believe so.
I think he did too, because it took him that long to investigate and all that. So he got to play that season, and I mean... dominated. Him and Rob Gronkowski were one of the most sought after cores, and they just, it's crazy because.
You guys are right. 2013, he had an ankle injury, but he still led to do it. Going NFL still.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for this episode. Next episode, we're going to talk about the trial and Aaron Hernandez's commitment of suicide, unfortunately. But for right now, this is the cast of Receiving Yards 2 Revolvers out.
See ya.
See ya.
See ya. Attaboy.